Hi, and welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre, and this show is for the week of November 3rd, 2021. So it turns out the town of Chelsea in Massachusetts is a very interesting place. It's just north of Boston, right across the river. And if you've ever crossed the Tobin Bridge on Route 1, Tobin Bridge lands in Chelsea as you leave Boston. So everyone's been to Chelsea at some point in their life. Chelsea's a town with a high population density. It's a very small town with a high population density and a lot of critical infrastructure that all of us like, but don't have to put up with. As we'll hear, Chelsea is where the state of Massachusetts stores all of the road salt for its towns. There is a produce distribution center that gives fresh produce basically to the entire East Coast, resulting in trucks going in and out of Chelsea all day long, every day. Of course, Logan Airport is just a few hundred yards away from Chelsea, but the jet fuel that we all like to use in our planes as we fly out of Logan, that's all stored in Chelsea. As I said, Chelsea's densely populated, and the people who live there have to accept the pollution that all of these industries make. The industries that benefit all of us, but the downside of the whole thing is visited upon the people in Chelsea. Anyway, today we are thinking about this in the context of the Gas System Enhancement Program, the GSEP, that we've been talking about for the last few episodes. The GSEP program is intended to repair the gas infrastructure throughout the state. The argument's been made that the GSEP is going to cost us $20 billion and is not really succeeding in reducing any leaks, much less getting us off of methane gas, right? Past couple of shows, we listened to Dr. Dori Seavey describe this gas system enhancement program and why it's a problem. Listen to Senator Mike Barrett discuss what the state can do to pivot away from methane, basically use the GSEP program as kind of a predicate for getting new legislation in place. Today we are going to listen to Maria Belén-Power, who is the executive director of an organization called Grassroots in Chelsea, Green Roots in Chelsea. We'll hear her formally introduced in a second. But Belén-Power will describe for us the environmental injustice that's occurring in Chelsea now. And as you listen, you'll hear her make the point that the gas system enhancement program is bad for the people of Chelsea in two ways. One, it's not really fixing the leaks, which are affecting the gas leaks that are affecting people in Chelsea now. But, and perhaps more importantly, the $20 billion price tag for all these gas leak repairs will begin to fall disproportionately on the people of Chelsea, who are lower income status generally, let's just say. Right? Because people with means are soon going to move away from gas to electrifying their home. And so the base of people who are paying for gas in decades to come will be more and more people who cannot afford to electrify their homes. Maybe they're renters. Maybe, you know, there's all kinds of conditions. And those people, for example, will be centered in Chelsea. So Belén-Power will make the case that environmental justice demands that we take that into account and think about communities like Chelsea as we move away from methane gas. Anyway, so this is the third in our sequence. The presentation you'll hear is from a webinar hosted by Gas Leaks Allies. The webinar is available online. I highly urge you to look at, watch the whole thing. You can see the slides, et cetera, et cetera. And we thank Gas Leaks Allies for letting us use this audio. But listen, please listen to Maria Bellin-Power make a convincing case as to why environmental justice is important and how the gas system enhancement program plays into that.
Our third speaker is Maria Bellin-Power. She is the associate director of Green Roots, a large community-based organization in Chelsea dedicated to improving the urban environment and public health in Chelsea and surrounding communities. At Green Roots, Ms. Powers oversees environmental justice campaigns and represents Green Roots in the Greater Boston Green Justice Coalition. She was also recently appointed by President Biden to serve on the newly established White House Environmental Justice Advisory Council. Meanwhile, she has put on her already quite long to-do list a run for city council seat in Chelsea. Ms. Power, welcome.
Thank you so much, Michael. And thank you to the Gas Leaks Allies for having me, Senator Barrett, for your leadership, and Dory for this incredible report. Do we have our slides? There we go. Great. Thank you. To really understand environmental justice and the equity implications of the gas industry, it's really important to understand the communities that we're talking about. So even though you may not know me, I know that we're connected through a river and a community that I call home. Road salt, home heating fuel, fresh produce. If you've ever wondered where those come from, well, at one point they were stored along the banks of the Chelsea Creek and the rest of our community. Next. Chelsea is the smallest and second most densely populated city in the Commonwealth. At just 1.8 square miles, we have over 45,000 residents, 73% of which identify as a racial or ethnic minority, the majority of which are Latino and Latina like myself, who came here from Nicaragua. 24% live below the poverty level. If you hit next, you can see Chelsea, and next you can see East Boston. And in neighboring East Boston, there are over 55,000 residents who live in 5 square miles. 3 of those are occupied by Logan International Airport. And if you hit next, you can see the airport. 53% of East Boston residents identify as Latino and Latina, and 17% live below the poverty level. Next, please. Green Roots is a resident-led environmental justice organization that's working to engage some of the most vulnerable populations, empower them to become strong leaders so that together we can implement innovative projects and campaigns that improve our public health and our quality of life. Next. Our communities are providing some of the largest regional benefits while shouldering the burden for air, land, water, and noise pollution from those very same industrial activities. Next. 100% of the jet fuel that's used at Logan International Airport is stored along the banks of the Chelsea Creek. 70 to 80% of the region's home heating fuel is also stored along the banks of the Chelsea Creek. Next. 400,000 tons of road salt that are used in over 350 communities in the Northeast are also stored along the banks of the Chelsea Creek. Next. Chelsea is also home to one of the largest produce distribution centers in the nation, serving the Northeast, the Mid-Atlantic states, and Southern Canadian provinces, bringing thousands of trucks in and out of our community daily. Next. Massachusetts, despite its progressive reputation, when it comes to public health, has some of the most profound race and class disparities. In 2016, the Center for Effective Government graded Massachusetts and only one other state an F for exposing people of color and residents living below the poverty level to hazardous facilities. Our communities have some of the highest rates of strokes, cardiovascular disease, and asthma hospitalization in the entire state. Next. In 2006, we learned that Chelsea's diesel exhaust level exceeded the EPA's threshold by 20%, and that our expected cancer cases caused by air pollution was 500 times higher than the rest of the state. Together with the New England Produce Center, we applied for $3 million, and together we replaced and retrofitted 132 dirty diesel engines. And by doing so, we eliminated 2,000 tons of air pollutants annually. We improved our public health, and we reduced healthcare costs. Next. Some of you may know of Cape Wind, the very same proponent that was proposing clean energy for Nantucket was proposing a dirty diesel power plant along the banks of the Chelsea Creek and across our community and across our only elementary school complex. When Green Roots got wind of that proposal, we immediately notified the community and we used every single tactic in the organizer's playbook. We mobilized, we wrote letters, we testified, and we even protested. And eventually we were successful in defeating this proposal. Next. And now children like my own, Maya, who is 8, and Ana Victoria, who is 4, can play in this very same playground without breathing in the fumes from a dirty diesel power plant. Next. Most recently, after many years of advocacy and a year that raised havoc in Chelsea, the EPA Region 1 and the Massachusetts Department of Environmental Protection installed 1 stationary and 9 mobile air quality monitors in Chelsea. These are the first of their kind in our community. And around the same time, the Massachusetts Attorney General's office announced a settlement from an air quality violation resulting in $200,000. That money will go towards purchasing air purifiers for homes in Chelsea that are impacted by air quality. Next. Now, if the connections between public health, race, and environmental justice were not clear before, the pandemic provided a painful example. COVID-19 has disproportionately impacted low-income communities and communities of color across the country. In Massachusetts, Chelsea has been one of the hardest hit cities by the virus. In fact, one of the hardest hit city communities in the entire nation. We had the highest rates of infection for months. At one point, we had as much as 5 times higher than the state average. Now, we know that this is in large part due to our environmental burdens, our social determinants of health, as well as our race and class disparities. The intersection between public health, environmental burdens, and race and class disparities has real implications for life and death. The crisis provides us with an opportunity to shift, to build back better, and to ensure a just recovery for all. Now, our worldview on equity and communities of color has significantly changed as a result of the pandemic. And we are at a crossroads. We can either go back the old modus operandi, or change the direction and center the communities that are most impacted by the fossil fuel industry. Next. Now, this is a map of Chelsea, and it shows the unrepaired gas leaks from 2016 to the present. Knowing what we know about how harmful nitrogen dioxide is to our health and our environment, we have to pay closer attention to how the gas infrastructure has an inequitable impact on low-income communities and communities of color. Now, let me just touch first on health and the health of our residents and our natural environment. Our children are already suffering some of the highest rates of asthma hospitalization in the state. Knowing what we know about the connection between gas stove cooking, nitrogen dioxide, and asthma, we have a moral responsibility to prioritize communities that are already overburdened by air pollution. We cannot transition away from gas while leaving those who cannot afford to behind. 2/3 of Chelsea residents are tenants, many of whom rent from absentee landlords who have, and the tenants have no voice over what happens in their units, nor do they have the resources to transition to electrical. This is the case for the broad, across the board, for the broad majority of environmental justice populations. The report highlights the financial cost and burdens of the gas industry and its archaic infrastructure. Not only will ratepayers have to pay an additional $20 billion for GSEP, but those who pay will be primarily low-income residents. We know that those who can afford to transition their homes to electric sources of energy will probably do so. Now, this means that the cost of the gas industry will be distributed among those ratepayers who cannot afford to transition. Finally, the impact of the gas leaks on the health of our trees is also disproportionate, and our environment, not just our trees, but our environment. Chelsea and East Boston already have some of the lowest tree canopy in the entire state. And we suffer from extreme heat island effect. So just to finish, as we transition away from the fossil fuel economy and gas infrastructure, we have to ensure that it is an equitable transition, that it is a just transition, one that prioritizes low and moderate income households, those who cannot afford to transition, and those who are literally dying from air pollution. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Bauer, for that compelling presentation.
So there you go. That's a discussion of the environmental justice aspects of the GSEP, Gas System Enhancement Program. So we've now got past three shows. We talked to the author of the report, or we listened to the author of the report, Dr. Dori Seavey, about the program itself. We listened to Senator Mike Barrett talk about what the legislature can do. And here we have some perspective on the justice implications of the whole thing. Again, we want to thank Gas Leaks Allies for letting us use this audio. We'll put up links at the MCAN website. They're useful for you. Please go check them out. They'll be at massclimateaction.org/blog. If you have questions about the show, please send us an email to podcast@massclimateaction.net. Let us know what we ought to be talking about. You can listen to our show on your smartphone using any of the modern podcast distribution apps. We're on all of them. Ask your friends to listen to us on their favorite podcast distribution app. I want to thank our good friend D.R. Tucker for his continuing research support. And we'll close where we always close, by saying that we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, that we accept responsibility for building a durable future, and that we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out. And because of that, we have to insist that the United States transform its energy sector over the next decade under a just and equitable plan that uses regulation, investment, and a price on carbon that respects environmental justice communities. So thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll talk again soon. Bye-bye.
Very cool.